Welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we welcome back Pontus Berner from Berner & Becker. In this discussion, we take another look at the German hotel market. We follow up on our conversation in September last year, when Pontus looked ahead to the winter of 2022 and what might play out. With concerns over a possible recession, rising energy prices, we see if this translated into a downturn in any way. After reviewing what happened in the winter, Pontus looks to the summer months of 2023, touching on some early possible challenges for the leisure markets as domestic customers look to travel abroad. He considers whether this will bring some pricing pressures and offers some final thoughts for hoteliers to start moving away from post-COVID day-to-day thinking. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started. Hey Pontus, good to see you again. How are you? All things good with you in Germany?
Yes. Hi, Trevor. Good to see you again as well. All good here in Germany. Spring is slowly but surely coming to Munich, so that's nice.
Good to hear it. And I understand our king has been over in Germany visiting. So
I wasn't even aware. Where was he? In Berlin or Munich?
I think he was in Berlin. Yeah, I have to admit, I just saw some pictures on the news this morning, and that was as far as it went.
I totally missed that. It wasn't covered by the media, so I read.
That probably says a lot. Anyway,
how are you?
Yeah, we're very good. Very good. Similar to you, actually. It's a lovely day today. Sun is shining. Bulbs are starting to bloom. So spring feels like it's on its way, which would be great. Works perfectly for what we're going to discuss today, because it was
blooming revenue.
Yeah, hopefully so, because we were looking back. It was about six months ago we caught up, and part of our discussion then was we wanted to just kind of get a take on how things have been in 2022. When we were speaking about September time, you were kind enough to share what you'd seen on the German market running up through spring and summer as we'd started to come out of the pandemic and the lockdowns and traveling was happening. And then you did sort of bit of a forward projection into what you thought some of the challenges may be as we went into fall and into the winter. So we thought it'd be good to kind of get you on again, look back to see how good your predictions are.
It was shit. I was wrong.
and then we can see if we can do a bit better as we look forward into the summer. So so let's start off with a bit of a recap. So when we were talking and we were looking at, you were kind of doing a bit of a summary. You were saying that looking into the winter, if we start with the winter first and how that panned out, you were saying that the fall was looking good, and there were possible signs going into winter was still a bit sort of hit and miss with the potential recession coming on. Let's kind of touch on that. How did the numbers look through fall and into winter?
Yeah, I was much more pessimistic, I was more pessimistic than it turned out to be.
Right.
Back then, recession, you know, no one knew was there going to come a cliff scenario or whatever. But what I thought, and I remember strongly, was that the mix of rising heating and electricity costs for both the households and also for the hotels, combined with an inflation where just everything rises in costs, would lead to, you know, a smaller travel budget for both companies and private families, which was not a very good combination with the rising prices in the hotels and travel. Due to these inflations and heating costs that also affect the hotels, obviously. So I thought that was a pretty bad combination, and was looking quite skeptical at the winter time, with still maybe, you know, the Alp hotels and so on around here being, you know, kind of fine still, but the others being affected. But that hasn't really happened, to our kind of surprise, it's like it doesn't really match somehow still in my mind, to be very honest with you. But I think we have been proven that people still indeed travel, and even though they have less money available, that family vacation is so much put into focus and mm-hmm. prioritized that people simply want to travel. And so we were budgeting, you know, also for our client hotels, a quite mellow quarter one. We were a bit better than quarter one of 2022 because that was still COVID effect and so on, but yeah. still rather mellow. And also us as a company, we didn't really budget a great sales, result with a lot of new clients and so on. Yeah. But on both of these points, we have been proven wrong, and we have, I think, had the best quarter one growth as a company ever, and also the hotel budgets and targets that were set were overachieved. So I guess good.
Good for you, good for the hotels, good for the German.
It's nice to be wrong sometimes, right?
Well, particularly when it's that way. Better than yeah. could be over optimistic and be wrong. That could be a worst case. But you're right, it's interesting. You're not the only person who has articulated that quizzicalness or confusion as to how can all of these macroeconomic factors be coming into play, and yet there still seems to be this demand out there, increased ADR, increased occupancy. And I think to your point, it just feels as if people have possibly cut back in other areas, maybe. I don't know how you've seen it in Germany and in Munich, but I know through conversations that we've had, people are maybe spending less going out, you know, during the week or at weekends, but almost putting that money to make sure that they're having maybe a weekend away or a week away. So really holding on to the budget from travel from a leisure point of view. I think the business also was interesting. That didn't seem to be affected greatly either. You know, corporate business seemed to have been pretty strong that we've been seeing. Has that been the case there?
Yeah, I think so. Both at corporates and group businesses have also been quite good. And at one point, the inflation also stagnated and turned downwards a little bit. So. I guess that's good. But I talked to some friends to ask also, like, how does this, you know, does that make sense to them? And what I hear, but this is obviously more economics in general, but they were saying that Germans in general have quite a lot of savings historically on their bank account, and saving up for the future and making sure they have a safety net and a buffer and protection and security. And COVID brought that kind of YOLO feeling to people.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And even though they might not have maybe good cash flow income now, they maybe use savings a bit more to actually do that travel that they now still very much cherish after COVID, and thinking, hey, what should I save for? Let's go at least travel, and that's because it's such a big part of how we humans enjoy life in the end of the day.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. And sometimes we're always saving up for some, as you say, sometime a long way down in the future. And maybe COVID made us realize that, well, maybe there's a balance and there's still a life to live now, isn't there? And get those experiences.
Yeah.
You touched on groups there as well. You were when we spoke last time, you were saying even going into the winter, you were starting to see group requests were starting to come through a little bit more consistently. Mm-hmm. Did that? I mean, I know winter can be an interesting time anyhow, but did that kind of hold up, and has it carried through into sort of first quarter?
Yeah, I would say so. We have a partner, Conference Direct. They help with conference business, and they are also kind of more busy than ever, and people are really planning, you know, big corporations planning in big meets, big parties, big get-togethers. It's a lot of focus on the kind of internal get-togethers and companies giving back to their employees because the rest is so much, is so much home and hybrid and so on. But it seems always a big focus on that whole kickoff of the year or Christmas stuff last year. It seems also to be running quite well. And I think as always, if people can plan ahead in a secure way and they're not too afraid that the war is going to come crashing or the economy is going to come crashing down, they definitely book. But it's still, from time to time, it's quite short-term business still, but it is still continuously coming so far.
No, that makes sense. Couple of things that you mentioned when we spoke, from like a revenue management point of view or sort of a pricing point of view. And I was looking back through our video again yesterday, and you highlighted that one of the conversations that you guys are having with your clients, if they're not already doing it, you were advising to maybe start to think about being maybe more dynamic around their pricing to allow for greater fluctuation. And you also touched on where there may be fixed price contracts already in place, that maybe there was a time to start looking, reviewing those, having those discussions. Was that being a bit, to your earlier point, kind of a bit over conservative? Or, I mean, I know dynamic pricing is something that people speak about a lot. Did you see any follow through, pick up trends that have come out of that?
Yeah, I think my point, if I remember correctly back then, was that now everyone is going to go on, you know, due to inflation, they're going to go on the high price increase want more for the corporates. And at the same time, then if demand is fading a little bit, if you're smart, you could maybe just keep the same price or even go down from a, let's say, an account where you see a lot of potential that can bring you a lot of business. As a negotiation tactic, necessarily the lowest paying client in your hotel, but maybe it was higher compared to other clients before. Now you could then use the opportunity to sneak in with a bit of a lower rate. But I would say, and what has also made me very happy in terms of how the industry have acted in this whole situation, is that people have still kept their heads high and kind of just went up. And due to the inflation and cost rising anywhere, this has also been an opportunity for acceptance that was maybe more difficult to negotiate before. And then people have simply accepted the rates. Yeah. So it has been, I would say, most focused on ADR increases, but I'm also sure that some hotels and revenue managers or hoteliers have used the opportunity to also steal some business from their competition by maybe not going up with the same amount.
Yeah.
So you could probably do some smart chess play there. But in general, the whole industry has risen both with cost of publicly and non-public rates. And you can also see at the airlines, crazy how much it costs now to fly Germany, Italy costs €600 and it's a 1.5 hour flight. It's crazy, a bit nuts, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I still, maybe now, if I'm thinking forward, I wonder, is it a sustainable level where we're at, or will it maybe find its equilibrium and maybe slow down a little bit?
Maybe plateau out a little bit. Kind of find its cruising, to use your airline, to find its like cruising height almost.
Exactly. The curve has been like straight up. Maybe it will go down a little bit, but then like kind of find its stability. But I wonder if people will be able to... Because if I just take what I hear from people, so not database now and stuff, but just what I hear from internal, from clients, from private friends and so on, everyone is reacting to it. And that means that the acceptance level is only going to be there for so long. And then at some point, people are going to stop paying €600 for that flight ticket and €300 a night for that 3-star hotel room in Rome. And then they have to maybe go down a bit. So I think the hoteliers actually are riding a little bit too high at the moment, and maybe even making you know, better profits than before, and even outweighing that extra cost. And at some point, it's going to have to balance maybe a little bit. It's my personal feeling a bit.
Well, we'll touch a little bit on a bit more forward looking in a moment. But you mentioned a word there about profit, and it's quite interesting to look at the rates at which, you know, ADR have gone up, for instance. But also, we know that costs have gone up, staffing level has gone up, gas, electricity. So just running a hotel is a lot more expensive now than it was 12 months ago. Again, you guys were talking about a greater focus shifting towards profitability. I know profitability has been spoken about a lot more lately. Pandemic certainly brought that to the forefront. Net RevPAR, net revenue has been discussed a lot more recently. Are you getting a sense that hotels are really making that shift towards understanding a greater focus on profitability now, or are we still just reverting back into, okay, ADR is good, occupancy is this, RevPAR is this, and we've kind of started to move on because it feels a bit better again?
I think it's a thing that has propelled the understanding of what revenue management is actually all about, to be honest, because
interesting.
They are traditionally, you know, there are then always two ways you can increase your profits: a lower cost or raising the revenues. And with the rising cost, you can't really do much about it. So people have been kind of like a stressed mouse in a cage and be like, oh shit, where do I turn? Yeah. And in the end of the day, there's only the revenue side to turn to equal this out. And so there, I think there's a huge focus on winning it all back with rates, especially, and also occupancy, but especially rate. And that's kind of the only way to fight it in that sense. And that's always what revenue management for me has been about, is increased profit, but the focus on the top line revenue, obviously profitable revenues with distribution costs and everything. But and not just focus on cutting costs in the hotel. But then my point is also, like, if you even then, with a huge extra cost factor that you have now, if you even overcompensate with higher rates, then you even make more profit than before. Maybe that's a little bit utopious in the current situation we're in. So that's where I think maybe there's some sort of equilibrium to be found. But obviously, there are a lot of hotels that also don't make the same profit as before, and it's a struggle. So there's both ways. But that, I think I'm just a little bit skeptical if the current prices also with airline travel and everything can be kept at the current levels. Now, I read some articles how food chains are pushed also by the government to actually drop down food prices again. So actually some things that went up,
the inflation.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe coming down like a little bit, like just finding a more normal level. So that wouldn't be... I mean, I'm always for, you know, high prices and good profits for the hotels, but I can imagine that the markets, they will go in that direction a little bit. It would make sense.
Yeah, and I guess as you say, it's that classic supply and demand, isn't it? I mean, if the demand is there, people are going to keep putting the prices up, and when demand slows, I agree with you, but I agreed with you before, and I had a similar view. I couldn't understand how it's continued at the rate it has, with costs being borne by companies and individuals a lot greater than it was previously. But I wonder if there becomes a point, maybe there was that intrinsic build-up of just being locked down and not traveling for a while, and maybe those that had the money dipped into the savings, whatever, have in a way maybe got that out of their system. You know, we're now going into the second, into year two, aren't we, after the pandemic opening up, so to speak. And so maybe there will be an element to suddenly looking and saying, okay, well, I was prepared to pay that before because I hadn't had a holiday for a couple of years, but you know, now that feels a little bit more pricey as my wages are getting squeezed a bit and my savings are getting squeezed a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do we see? I mean, picking up on that and looking forward, if we switch from review into forecasting and projecting a little bit, if we look to how you know, from Easter, which is almost upon us, and then into the summer, how are things looking currently?
I think that the travel is still on a high in general, but it is, however, also shifting. So especially the leisure focused hotels in Germany, you need to have a very different strategical mindset now than the previous last two summers, for example, because then everything just, you know, came in and you could yield it very high. And now people are traveling abroad again. They do dig deep into their pockets and take that 600 euro flight to Italy this Easter. So we have clients, leisure clients all around Germany, where we really need to push a lot of effort into strategically finding business, to find distribution ways, and to make sure to get the clients to come. So it's not that easy. So that's from a strategical point of view. So it's not just sit back and relax, but then corporate travel is still recovering, I would say. And in general, we look to a fairly bright spring and summer also for the city hotels in and around Germany. But obviously we have the big overhanging factor of the financial situation and what happens with banks and so on. So I mean, if there's some sort of crash coming down there, then that will obviously change the tables severely. And for that, I think it's also important that people plan, let's say, a little bit, like maybe not too much. We're not in a crisis scenario yet where you need to have your, you know, five different scenarios worked out. But people obviously should be aware and make sure you stay up to date with the news and everything, how it's going. But hopefully we cross our fingers that it won't come crashing down in that sense and that we... Yeah, and that we then can look to a good summer. So, but at the moment, as I said, city destinations are good. Germany is good in general. But when we look at a bit of the leisure destinations in Germany, people are traveling abroad again, so it becomes a little bit more difficult.
I was going to pick up on that when you said thinking about being a bit more strategic, because as you say, there was a big reliance before on local travel. People weren't traveling abroad, they still wanted to get away, so there was a ready-made market. Has that been, from what you're saying, that doesn't seem as Germans are traveling abroad now rather than local market, that doesn't seem to have been offset by international travel inbound, so with other European countries coming in, US being able to travel, China opening up. I mean, I don't know how much of those markets were important to Germany anyhow. Are you seeing any balance coming into play, or does that come to your point about having to be a bit more strategic where you're going after now?
Yeah, no, the balance is not really there. It's more leaving again than more like inbound travel. And for example, both US and Asia has been very important feeder markets for Germany,
right?
More so maybe for the bigger cities than the coastal destination hotel on the Baltic coast. There maybe they don't really find their way there, and that's why, like, the more international feeder market you had as a city or destination or a hotel before, probably the easier you have it going on to this summer.
Yeah,
the more national business you had, the harder you will find it. And there are some leisure destinations that have been traditionally also pre-COVID very, very big international mix. So like the Alps, and then they shifted to complete national, and now it's back to maybe international.
Right.
But let's say a coastal region up in the north of Germany was never very international. They just benefited from a very nice boost when everyone needed to travel internally in the country, so to say, or nationally. And then and now they're struggling to, so they would have to let's say, find completely new ways and break new ground in terms of how they get international clients to come to them. And that's a big marketing effort, distribution ways, and finding new partners, etc., to make that happen.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was looking back when we were talking in September, and you were saying how mixed destinations, like in Berlin, Munich, you gave us the example with a good mix of leisure and business. They were starting to come back up, and it sounds as if that's increased, as you say, where that international market has been. But those that relied a lot more on local or national business, they're the ones that have maybe got a pivot or be a little bit more strategic, possibly aggressive in their marketing. Do you think that would play through into their becoming sort of isolated pricing challenges, that you might start to see some of those coastal regions maybe being a bit more aggressive with their pricing, for instance?
Yeah, I think so. And for sure, there's always going to be someone who starts dropping, unfortunately. And then they will catch a little bit of more market share with that pricing, and then people will follow. So probably it will be a bit of a pricing downwards, but it kind of also makes sense because the price was also increased a lot during the
anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So the demand is simply not the same, and you have to kind of maybe adjust it a bit. But yeah, the more wide in the horizon you can go with target group and distribution, the better you will be off. So you have to really work strategically there, but be smart about how you do promotions, you create base occupancy without destroying the rate completely, and so on. And if you also have a pricing system, you need to make sure that you manage it, as it doesn't start going down in a spiral if your competitors start to drop their rates. But then I think the markets like Berlin and Munich, they will continue to be strong because they also get the business travel back a bit more and more. The international travel will come back more and more when it's more these pure leisure destinations that will struggle a little bit.
No, that makes sense. It was interesting. We did obviously a video with, well, not obviously, but we did a video with Veit in November as well. And one of the things that he spoke about and emphasized in that was the understanding your cost base. And that would still seem to be a message, particularly, as you say, if you're looking at some of those leisure destinations that may get into some sort of price adjustment and starting to reduce prices. You know, you really have to have a good handle on what your costs are going to be, how they may alter going forward, to know exactly where you are as a business, and back to that key point about profitability again.
Yeah, exactly. And if you know that, okay, we do everything we can to take the best out of the market, if the market will drop down a bit, then maybe plan a little bit different with your cost structure, with purchasing, with staffing, than you have in the previous summers where everything was just booming like crazy. Mm-hmm. Still believe though that for the good summer destinations, it's going to be a full summer. It was also pre-pandemic, within the German school holiday season. It is difficult to book any free hotel up there in the same week. It's just awful. But for example, looking at Easter now, mm-hmm. Easter was also now historically in the last one to three years full in those leisure destinations, and there it's a bit more of a struggle now.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
In terms of things like, I know when we were talking before, you were talking about how like booking lead time was super short, length of stay, you'd seen a little bit of an adjustment. Have those mm-hmm. things started to normalize slightly, is that a maybe a baked in change in behavior at the moment?
No, they have started to normalize slightly. The people are, I would say, less scared that a world war will break out tomorrow than that than they were a year ago.
Makes sense.
And so as long as people have that security feeling and stability, then the lead time is now increasing again. It's probably in many destinations still much shorter than it was pre-COVID and pre-war, but it's definitely not as short as it was when it was at its shortest last year.
Well, that makes sense. So I think then listening to what you're saying going into this summer, you appear to be more positive that the good signs are sustainable, will continue, the demand will continue to be there as it was, assuming there's no great surprise. So in the winter, there are a lot of headwinds coming up that we seem to get through. Now it's almost as if people have adjusted to that. We're still seeing positive numbers. Anything could come out of left field and that could change the picture. But overall, your biggest kind of flag, I guess, that I've picked up is just we may see a slight adjustment around the pricing as there becomes maybe a slight dip and then a plateauing, a slight normalization rather than this continual increase. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think so. That's a good summary. I couldn't have said it better myself.
And in terms of, so I mean with that kind of message in mind, and that's thankfully a lot simpler than it was when we last spoke, in terms of you guys supporting your clients, what kind of conversations are you having, advice to people who might be listening or watching this, just some broad headline kind of keep in mind suggestions, anything that instantly comes to mind?
I think it's a time to actually think long term, continue to invest in technology, continue to set yourself for an optimistic future, be fine with that some things will take its adjustment and maybe there will be some small dips to find its balance and so on, and I think that people shouldn't panic about. And then otherwise, just work solid for the mid and long term again. And something can come from the left field and surprise us all. You kind of have the heart up here when you read the news sometimes about banks lately and so on. But be prepared. But otherwise, maybe work for the long term. Make sure you use the continuous growth that will continue to happen. That would I think be my message. So don't,
it's more that shifting focus, isn't it? It almost feels like the last 3 years we've been month to month, quarter to quarter, and now
exactly
it feels like there's that bit of stability that we could start to be thinking more medium long term.
Exactly, use that stability, breathe out a little bit, do the right decisions for the long term, and then we just have to keep on going and hope for the best and hopefully avoid any big swings from the left field coming.
I mean, that could happen anytime, but as the crash in 2008, 2009, as the pandemic, I mean, there's certain things you can't cater for, but it doesn't mean you stop looking longer term. Good bit of advice and a nice positive note for us to finish on. And I guess it'd be fun to get you back on in the autumn, and let's see how the summer is and what the winter looks ahead, maybe even simpler then.
Let's see. I'll be happy to take a chat then as well.
Brilliant, look forward to it. Thanks for joining us, Pontus.
Likewise, thank you, Trevor.
Take care. Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Pontus for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview with Pontus, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.